I'm going to start tonight. You know, we're going to focus on what I taught on Sunday. That is, don't let your mistakes define you. Don't let your mistakes define you. This is very scriptural, even as we go to time of Easter. We see that the message of Christianity is about forgiveness. It's about the removal of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Christ came to do. That's what he shed his blood for. The blood of Jesus is to cleanse us, to remove us from every stain, every impurity that is in us or on us. The blood of Jesus, for those who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is cleansed it completely. Amen. And so I'm going to start with some questions, and I don't want you to answer it out. Just think within your heart. What carries more weight to you? I don't know if you've got that. What carries more weight in your heart? Mercy or judgment? Now, just naturally, not just looking at what the Word of God says, I know we say, okay, mercy. But in your day-to-day living, do you show mercy first before judgment? Are you more likely to judge people or to extend mercy to them? What comes first when people have done something to you? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'm going to show them mercy, or they're going to pay for it. You know, so that's the question. The second one is forgiveness or payment. Are you keen to forgive people? And I also have it here. Which one do you talk about most? Which one do you talk? Do you go about saying, look, forgiveness is such a wonderful thing? Or you talk about, you know, people have to pay for everything they do. Amen. And the penalty or grace? Penalty or grace? The next one is punishment or pardon. So which one carries more weight in your day-to-day life, the way you live, the way if people were to meet you and they say, well, you know, those who have wronged you before, those who have sinned against you, hallelujah. Well, they say, well, you know, anytime I do something wrong to Nick, he's always ready to forgive me. Amen. You know, so that's the kind of thing we want to do. And and then the second one is patience or quick fix. Are you someone who wants things to just, let's get it done quick, or you are patient? And, you know, in answering those questions, the first thing you want to do is, which one of these, those attributes or those things we've listed, reflects the nature of God? You see, I think that's the good way to answer it, because it is what is in the nature of God that we are supposed to hold dear. You know, it's not just knowing it or reading it that it becomes our life. So that's the one we pursue. We don't pursue the one that does not reflect God, because we are here to reflect Christ, isn't it? You know, we are Christians to reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. And which one reflects what the blood of Jesus has done? Which one? And so those are the questions. We can take that home and continue to live by the ones that you believe is right. Of course, I know the one you should live by. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Because this, the one that we hold dear, the one that is weight to us, will also determine the one that we enjoy from God. You see, the one that you hold as weighty, as precious, is the one you are enjoying from God. Not that God has not given it, but because you haven't put it as your nature, as what you desire and what you prioritize, you can only enjoy as much grace as you understand, as much grace as you give. Hallelujah. Amen. So look at, you know, the person who talked a lot about grace, who wrote two-thirds of the scripture of the New Testament. Paul spoke about grace a lot, because he understood the grace of God. He spoke about mercy, about love, about grace. You know, have you ever wondered why he was talking about this? He was around people lots of people who knew God, but they were not acquainted with the grace of God. They were not acquainted with it. So God gave him, if I said, God gave him the gospel of the grace of God. That was his gospel, to go out and share the gospel of the grace of God. Now he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. Now the word strength, there is also grace. Amen. The strength of God is the grace of God. That he considered me trustworthy. Another translation says, he considered me faithful. So he is looking at himself and saying, God considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. That this is special. You know, what he's trying to say is that I don't really deserve it. That God will enable me to be part of this work, to be a minister, to be a servant. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Even though I was once what? A blasphemer. See, this man understands what grace is because he understands what he was. I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. See, the Paul that we see writing the scriptures and the Paul that used to be are two different Pauls. So Paul is looking at, why will God use such a person? Why will he enable me? Why will you extend his grace to a person like me to preach the gospel? And not only to preach the gospel, a man who was going about punishing the saints, a man who was going in violence, turned around, he's now preaching the grace of God. A man who was meting out penalties and punishment and all of the things, you know, the opposite that we saw there. Everyone, you deserve to be punished. You deserve to die. You deserve this. That's who I was. But you know, when he was doing it, he didn't realize that who he was until he met with grace and he realized the kind of life he was living. He said, I was shown mercy. You see now, who showed him mercy? Jesus, our Lord Jesus, because I acted in ignorance and what? Unbelief. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was what? Poured out. Poured out. See, what he is doing is throughout the scriptures that he's written, he's elevating grace. He's saying, yo, I did this, I did this, I did that, but grace was poured out and overshadowed all of my weaknesses. You see, because grace is greater than your sin. Hallelujah. You know, every time you find yourself talking about the sin, remember grace. Never elevate sin, elevate grace. He said, the grace of God was poured out on me abundantly. Say abundantly. You see, the Bible says where sin abounds, what happens? Grace much more abounds. What does that mean? It means that, you see, where people are sinning, where sin is, God extends more grace to that place. Because where there is a lot of sin, where there is little sin, I don't want to say little grace. They need grace, but not much more, because grace has to increase. So the more sin that exists, the more grace will abound. And so God's grace has to overshadow and overpower and overwhelm every iniquity, every sin, for grace to be effective. So he said, because he had sinned so much, you know, the first martyr, who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen. Paul was there. Paul was the one taking permission, going about to the authorities, getting permission to deal with the Christians. Maybe Stephen would not have died if not for Paul. Paul was the last man standing there. So yes, you got what you deserve. So that's why I said he's recognizing, for me to be in so much sin, there has to be a lot of grace that's been extended to me. So he recognizes it. Not just grace to be forgiven, but grace to be the one now declaring the gospel. The very people that I was going against. In fact, Paul was saying, I think Acts chapter 26, he said, I made a lot of people blaspheme the name of Jesus. That is, I make them say, I'm no longer a Christian. Hallelujah. Look at grace. You know, grace is of God. You can never show grace in your human flesh. Your flesh wants penalty. Your flesh wants punishment. In my flesh, it is tit for what? For tat. But grace, glory to God. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. You know, that's a scripture that says, if God were to count iniquity, who shall stand? You see, if God were not gracious, if he were to say, I'm going to deal with everyone according to their sin, we are all done. Every single one of us, without exception. So thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. So it is not just that we recognize grace, but we see what grace is doing in our lives. Paul is saying, this grace has enabled me. It just took me up. When he poured it on me, it took me up. And it changed me and transformed me. And I went 180 degrees. That's full repentance. Hallelujah. And so it says, was poured on me abundantly, along with what? The faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Grace, faith, and love. And you know, the faith we have is also a gift. Faith is a gift. You know, sometimes, you know, one say, you know, I have so much faith. I like what Paul said. He said, it is no longer I that lives. This man knew grace, but Christ that lives in me. He says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live. It's not my faith. It is his faith that he has gifted to me. Hallelujah. So here is a trustworthy saying. He's saying that this statement I want to make now, I want you to catch it. It's so important. And that deserves full acceptance. It deserves it. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. That's why he came. Amen. To save sinners. Every person who has ever committed any sin, well, every person who has ever been born. Do you know, we people are not sinners just because they sin. People are sinners, humanity, we are sinners because Adam sinned. So through Adam, we all became sinners. So if somebody say, I'm a nice person, I don't do anything wrong, they are already wrong. Amen? That's a lie. Because we came, you see, when Adam sinned, if you go and read Romans chapter 5, we'll be looking at that over the Easter period. He said, when Adam sinned, what happened? Death reigned. Death did not just reign over Adam. It began to reign over those who did not sin after the similitude of Adam. That is, those of us, you see, our sin is different from the way Adam sinned. Adam sinned as a perfect man. Praise God. So our sinning is different, and that's why I say it's not after the similitude. After, it's not of the similar fashion as Adam, because Adam was perfect. He didn't have to sin. He willingly disobeyed God. Nobody has ever sinned like that. You are sinning as a sinner. Amen. You are not sinning because, you know, you were perfect and you had the option. When sin has entered into the world, sin has entered and we were born, every one of us came through Adam and Eve. So we are in sin. That's why David said in Psalm 51, he said, in sin I was what? I was conceived. In iniquity, my mother gave birth to me. Why would he say that? A baby. Why will it? Because the mother came from Adam and Eve. Amen? And so everybody is a sinner, so Jesus had to come for all of us. Amen. He says this is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am what? The worst. The worst. My. So, my God. Paul is looking at everything he's done. You see, all through his ministry, he's looking at everything he's done. He's just looking at, you know, every day he will wake up. This grace is special. Amen. Just 5 years ago, I was dealing with people. And look at me. Wow. See, when you understand the grace of God, you will change quicker. You see, many times the reason we keep doing the things we're doing is because we haven't understood the payment. What it took Jesus to redeem us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So Apostle Paul is bringing grace to the fore. He's elevating grace. He's elevating grace. He said, I am the worst. He said, but for what? But for that very reason, realizing that I was the worst. But you know, if you look at it, you know, if you look at the people that lived at the time, Paul wasn't, you see, to Paul, he was seeing himself being the worst. But he wasn't the worst person on earth at the time, isn't it? Was he? You remember, is it Herod, the one who ordered all the babies to be killed? Was Paul worse than him? So it wasn't Paul, he wasn't measuring himself with anybody else. He was looking at the depth, and that's what true repentance is. He was looking at the depth, the magnitude of what he did, which is opposite to what we do now. What we do is like, I say, oh, mine is not as terrible as the other guy, you see? So we're not able to understand grace because you're saying that only little grace was needed to save you. So I didn't need more grace. Look at her. What the terrible things she did. Paul said, I'm the worst. And that's the best way to enjoy the grace. That's why he was able to enjoy God's grace. Amen. Because he kept letting God know that I need more grace. Amen. That's what he does. He keeps you humble. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, he keeps saying this. Christ Jesus might do what? This is the reason. Might display his immense patience. So he's saying that I'm a model for everybody. I'm a pattern. I'm an example to everybody. Now, oh, this is powerful. Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who will believe in him and receive what? Eternal life. I'm an example of what grace can do. Amen. What could make the worst of sinners become the greatest of apostles? Amen. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. It changes your name, it changes your identity, and it changes your story. For every person who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you have been made a saint. Praise God. So don't let any mistake you have ever made in life, don't let it define you anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let it define you. God does not define you by your errors. He defines you by what Christ has done. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. So stop elevating your errors. Stop elevating your flaws. Stop elevating your challenges and your struggles and your mistakes. Start elevating grace. Because the more you elevate grace, the more grace will work for you. Amen. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Because elevating the flaws and everything, you know, you might think that's humility. It's not humility. What you are saying is that I don't think the grace has been sufficient to cleanse me of that one. No, Jesus, you paid for some, but this one that I did yesterday, you haven't even heard it. How many know that nothing can be hidden from God? Amen. Okay. Jesus not only paid for the sins of yesterday, he's paid for the ones today and the ones for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you do anything wrong, what do? You come to him and ask for forgiveness and believe that he has what? He will forgive you and cleanse you from all, or not just the one you ask for, every unrighteousness. So never define yourself by your struggles, by your sins, or by your mistakes. God is giving you a new identity. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You are clean. Praise God. Psalm 51. No, let's look 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, Paul talks about grace a lot. And I really like to read these scriptures about grace. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles." See again. What do you think he's talking about this? So that you will see the abundance, what grace has done. "And I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm not even worthy because I did what? I persecuted the church of God." Verse 10. "But," say but. "By the grace of God." Hallelujah. So he's letting us know, he's elevating grace above what he did. He's letting you know that what he did is actually more than what you did. Or what you think you might have done. That's to him, that's what he's saying. I don't know whether there's other people who have done worse than me, but that's it. I want to bring out how powerful grace is. You say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Is he what he was? No. He is what he is now. He's changed. He's not defined by what he did. He's defined by what Christ has done. That's the way we've got to look at it. We're no longer defined by what we did or even what you do. He said, "The grace toward me was not in vain. But I did what? I labored." You know, sometimes what people say is that, you know, if you talk about grace too much, you know, like Paul said, "Shall we continue in grace? In sin, that grace may abound." Why did he have to say that? Because when he was preaching grace, people say, "Ha, ha, ha, Paul, hold on. If you keep talking grace, people will keep sinning." No. If people understand grace, they will sin less. This is what he's saying. You see, when you understand what was done for you, if you don't understand it, you still carry on. Now, have you ever heard the two words, whipping boy? Whipping boy. Anyone ever heard it? W-H-I-P-P-I-N-G, boy. A whipping boy. Do you know how it originated? Whip is a whip. Whipping is a whip. Do you know how it originated? In the olden times, even in Europe, when a prince could not be given corporal punishment, they couldn't whip the prince because he's what? He's a prince. And most times, the king or the queen, they were always going out to battle. So they never had time to train the prince. So the easiest person to be spoiled and misbehave is who? The prince. Every other person will stay and discipline their children and do a lot of, give them some whippings in those days. Amen. So what they did, they will appoint a whipping boy. The whipping boy is the friend of the prince. So every time the prince did anything wrong, they will whip the boy. Not the prince, because they could not whip the prince. Are you getting what I'm saying? They couldn't. How can you whip a prince? You can't. Only his father could do it, but he would not. And he's never around anyway. He was taken to the affairs of the state. And so this guy was actually his friend. They would take mostly his best friend. So his best friend was his whipping boy. So every time the prince did anything wrong, in front of him, they will bring his friend and whip him. That's where the term whipping boy comes from. So the prince, even though he will not be whipped, and even if he didn't want to change, because he will not be whipped, because of the pain his friend was going through, he will change. Because he didn't want to see his friend being whipped again. The same thing. Christ has become our whipping boy. He went to the cross. If you can see through the mind, through the spirit eye, and see what Christ paid for on the cross, even though you don't want to stop sinning, when you remember and think of all that he paid for, you say, "Because of him, I will stop. I don't want my friend to suffer in vain." So Christ is our whipping boy. In fact, the Bible uses that word, the scapegoat. So if you understand grace, you will change quicker. Hallelujah. So the prince will just change because he was always scared. You know, every time, Because this is Israel. They had to do everything together. They went everywhere together. Went to school together. They studied. Did everything together. But as soon as he misbehaved, they'll take him. And he has to watch it. Praise God. So grace actually makes us change. Hallelujah. So he said, but I labored more. Look at it. I labored more because I got more grace. I labored more. I recognize what grace has done for me. So I'm laboring more. I'm working harder than every one of them. All the people think maybe they only got little grace. They work little. But for me, my grace is huge. I've got to work harder. And it says, than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Amen. So we see Paul now, and then we look at David. We read Psalm 51. David is another person who understood what grace meant, the grace of God. Even in the Old Testament, he spoke about grace, you know, more than many people know even today. So let's go to 51. He said, purge me with hyssop. And I spoke about that. Hyssop is a cleansing agent. Cleanses you externally and internally. He said, Lord, I want you to cleanse me. I know what I've done. He said to God, to you, I've sinned against you. I've sinned and shall be clean. What did he say will happen to him? I'll be clean. Do you know that you are clean? Because you've been washed with the precious blood of Jesus. When you are clean, it means you are no longer defined by the stain. You see, sin is a stain. Your faults, your flaws, there is stain on you. God wants to relate with you. In order to relate with us, he has to remove the stain. Amen. You know, in the world, what we do is that we actually proclaim the stain on people. And we wonder why we don't have good relationships. We wonder why we don't have unity. We wonder why we're struggling to relate well with one another. Because stain will always bring a distance between you and the person. So God will clean you up so that nothing stops you from relating with him. Hallelujah. That's why you've got to always elevate grace. Because grace lets you know that you've been washed and you are clean. Say, I'm clean. I'm clean. Amen. Amen. Don't let one part of your mind think of what you did before you came to church today. Amen. Hallelujah. No, you've got to. We have to enter into this rest. Amen. It is rest. It's what God said. God's word is the rest of God. Say, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. See how snow is white? You shall be whiter than that. How did David know that? He knows that God's cleansing is more, what word would I use? It's more potent than what hyssop can do. Amen. More than what any cleaning agent can do. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, one thing about God, I like the fact that God, actually, the Bible records all of the flaws of these people. All their challenges. We have it. The Bible is not hiding it. But he wants us to see if he can be purged of that, you can be purged of any iniquity. That's what he's saying. God is not denying it, but he's saying every sin they committed, if I can purge David of that sin, if I can purge Paul, wash him clean, then you should be able to believe that everything you've ever committed, every error, every mistake, you've been cleansed. Hallelujah. Oh, this is so precious. This is more than enough reason for you to get up and come to church every day. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, what David did not define him. What Paul did not define him. Because he is the greatest apostle. Amen. that we ever know. Amen. And guess what God said about David? Acts chapter 13. It's over 1,000 years later. And the account was being put down by, I think, Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write this. He says, now, that's 36a, now when David had done what? Served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He didn't say, now when David had committed adultery. Now when David had done this. No. What happens? He's no longer, God does not define you by your mistakes. Once you have received his forgiveness, once you have asked, you've repented, you are clean. Amen. So he said, wash me and I shall be clean, whiter than snow. You've been cleaned. You've been washed in the name of Jesus. You know, maybe in this world today, you know the way people, they always we put a stain on ourselves in this world. If I say, oh, can you describe, I don't know her, can you describe that lady to me or that girl to me? You know, you don't know her, you don't know him, that's rude, isn't it? That's a stain, and that's what affects our relationship. Oh, that aggressive, got some words here, that big-headed. He said, when David has served God's purpose in his generation, nothing like, oh, those stains, those spots, if you believe Christ has washed it away, why are you saying it? He said, that unfriendly, that selfish, that hostile, you know, that prejudiced guy, that old woman. You know, you're not saying it as in, you know, not just saying it as respect for the age, you're saying that old woman, that old man. Don't you know that guy? Talk, can't ever stop. That stain. So what should we do? God has washed away all our stain. We should go about not putting stains on people. Don't put a stain on people. And that will enhance our fellowship. It will enhance our relationship. And it will help you as well. Amen. Because if you don't have that mentality, you will always receive the grace of God working in your life. Amen. I said amen. Amen. God is not counting your iniquity against you. The Bible says their sins and their lawless deeds. I will do what? I will remember no more. That's Hebrews 10. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so he has taken our sins away from us. You know, why will he say east and west and not north and south? Because north and south can meet, isn't it? When you travel north, what do? You travel south. When you hit the North Pole? After that, what do? You go south. But you know, you keep traveling east, you keep going east. That is, God has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will remember them no more. Hallelujah. And I close with this, Isaiah chapter 1. Kurabasakataba. You are clean. You are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Elevate grace. Elevate the word. Elevate the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Say, come now. Let us reason together. That's what we've already done today. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Amen. You know, this is a promise in the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, they have already become. Amen. They've already become. And I'd like to read verse 19 to you. Verse 19, this is what God is saying. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. Nothing will stop you from eating the good of the land. Amen. Because your sins have been forgiven. The Lord has washed you clean, white, as snow, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Just bow your head and thank God for the grace of God, for the grace of the blood of Jesus has washed me. I'm clean. Oh, I elevate the blood, the cleansing power of the blood over and above every fault, every flaw, every struggle, every weakness. Thank you, because the same grace that was upon Apostle Paul, that grace is available to me today. Every stain has been removed. I will not accept any stain on my life, on my body, because the Lord Jesus has cleansed me with his blood. Thank you, Father. I am no longer defined by what I've done. I'm defined by what Christ has done for me, in Jesus' name. Amen.